This is Storage Unpacked. Subscribe at storageunpacked.com.
This is Chris Evans with another Storage Unpacked podcast, and I'm still in sunny Las Vegas, although not as warm today, apparently, and we are still at Hitachi Next 2019. This time, I've got the pleasure to sit with Jonathan Martin, CMO. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Chris.
Good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
And we're just going to have a chat about the event,
yeah.
Understanding where Hitachi's headed, and just trying to fill in the gaps from previous discussions and really just fill out that understanding about where the company's headed. So, first of all, it's been a really interesting week. Mm-hmm. There's been some great presentations on stage. You spent most of the time, actually, on stage. Didn't you?
Yeah, I did spend a lot of time. They saw a lot of me.
Including your gun.
Yep.
That second shot was amazing.
It's Vegas. Well, those T-shirt cannons. And I think that, like, most of the places you go, you ask for a T-shirt cannon, and it turns up to be more of a pea shooter. But because we're in Vegas, it is genuinely like proper cannon.
That was amazing.
And so it did that first shot, and then the second shot, I'm like, all right, I need to use it. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, so I'm like, I want to pack this thing down here.
Yeah.
And even I was pretty surprised.
it was amazing. That was
how far that went.
Was fantastic. Yeah. But in terms of the presentations on stage, I think for me, it was good to start to see some of the details. So the first day we had a lot more focus on products and solutions, and then today we've had a lot more, I guess, looking at how those are being applied. Mm-hmm. Certainly the Disney one was fascinating because we're actually starting to see the real data being shown up on the application. Yeah. And I was trying to work out whether that Lumada app that had the ride names on it, mm-hmm. whether that was genuine or whether that was a mock-up.
But that was really good. That's directly from Disney.
Right, okay. And that was really fascinating. Yeah. But I just wanted to, I guess, start by just talking about the direction mm-hmm. and where Hitachi Vantara, obviously, will be a merged organization with consulting, but where that's headed and how we look at what the direction of the company will be.
Yeah. So we've been, everyone's on a journey these days, aren't they? We're on a journey too, and I think we started ours about 2 years ago with the inception of Hitachi Vantara, and back then it was really pulling a number of disparate kind of data-related assets from across Hitachi Group. You know, we are a Japanese conglomerate of in excess of 800 subsidiaries.
Yeah.
And so it was pulling a bunch of those subsidiaries together and putting it into a new business, which was really focused on the data side of digital transformation and, you know, the impact that data will have on moving organizations into the digital era. And we're still on that journey. So we announced middle of September, 17th of September, our intention to integrate Hitachi Consulting with Hitachi Vantara, still under the brand name of Hitachi Vantara. So we're kind of in this gray period at the moment where we're still operating as two companies,
right.
But we are developing those kind of integration plans with the intention of beginning to operate as a single company around a single digital strategy in January 2020.
Okay, so those two companies, I think we now know what Vantara is, but consulting, when we say Hitachi Consulting, it was big project solutions consulting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was business consulting. It wasn't,
yeah, but business, no, wasn't, almost like, you know, industrial internet kind of consulting.
Yes.
And so, you know, Hitachi Consulting, as I said earlier, we're a conglomerate of many companies. So yes, we work with finance companies, we work with manufacturing companies, we work with retail companies. But as an organization, we also run our own banks and we run our own manufacturing plants and we run our own retail stores because we have all of these different pieces in the conglomerate. So consulting is really, or the Hitachi Consulting team's really been focused over the last few years on, like, how do I work with these individuals as they're going through their digitalization process, capture intellectual property, package it, and implement it as a project somewhere else. And so generally we're collecting that intellectual property, although not exclusively, in Japan, and then bringing it out to the rest of the world in projects. And then when you blend it with Vantara is much more, so that's very kind of vertical kind of approach to the world.
Yeah.
Vantara is a much more kind of horizontal play. Yes, we also have had industries that are more successful than others, but in general, we're pretty vertical. We're pretty horizontal. But our focus has really been around the development of products and solutions. And when you bring those two things together, next year, we're going to be a single company aligned against this kind of single digital strategy, but really around taking the intellectual property from particular segments, packaging it as projects, and then as we repeat those projects enough times, productizing those projects into products that we'll sell back into the industry around the globe.
So I guess picking one, you know, we saw Disney today, and they showed us things like track sensors, and I found it really fascinating having some of the conversations last night over dinner, because there was the discussion about Space Mountain, and how, which if anybody remembers it, that one's in the dark and it's a roller coaster, and how things like LiDAR can be used to detect when, for instance, people drop a phone out of their pocket or something falls out and can be on the track and obstruct the next train that comes along.
Yeah.
It was things like that you start to see and think, okay, that's one environment where you could use it. But then you could then sell that as if you packaged it to so many other similar organizations.
I'm sure every industry has the issue with losing phones. I certainly do anyway, so maybe I could get one of those. I think, you know, so first of all, Disney, super excited with the announcements with them yesterday to become one of their strategic alliance partners. They don't have many, so it's a really pretty special for us to become that. And we've worked together for quite a few years now, and I think we're going to do some pretty tremendous things going to the future. They're a very progressive company in the use of data in what they do. And they, you know, like us, they have a kind of industrial heritage almost on one side. You know, you speak to the people that are running the rides and running the experiences. It's a very kind of industrial mindset almost there. But blending that with, you know, they're bringing all of these things into the 21st century, you know, upwards of 10 or 11,000 sensors on each ride, collecting tremendous amounts of information. All of these rides, you can almost think of them as kind of mini clouds at this point. They're all, you know, they're certainly like out on the edge. They're collecting a tremendous amount of data. A lot of it is operational data that they're using for things like maintenance insights type stuff, like they're doing at Disney. But they're looking at using, you know, all the latest and greatest, you know, LiDAR, machine learning, augmented reality throughout the parks to bring, you know, differentiated experiences to the people that come there.
And I think they're a good example when you talk about edge, because I always find trying to understand what edge really means in some contexts. People seem to think that edge is, oh, we'll just put a server out there and it'll be ruggedized and it'll sit in a cabinet. Yeah. But that's absolutely not what you're looking at. And this edge intelligence is a very different concept.
I think like our view would be, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, everyone's trying to convince you that the future is hybrid, right? That you've got your private data centers and a bunch of clouds and that you're done. If you look at where, if you took it through a data lens, if you look at where data is actually going to be created, if you speak to Gartner, in the next few years, 75% of the data created on the planet will be done out at the edge. And in the way that, you know, we're going through a similar evolution we went through with cloud, probably in the early 2010s, 11s way. Back then, people had an idea. There was this one thing. The cloud was like one thing.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment, people have the same view of the edge. It's like one thing. And the edge, like the cloud, is a spectrum of things. It goes everything from, you know, sensors through servers and gateways to like hyperconverged type offerings, data center in a box type stuff, all the way through to mini clouds. And those, you know, I heard some awesome stats on the new BMW 7 Series the other day, which is 1,500 sensors on the car, 33 independent computers. Each one generates 4 terabytes of data and squirts about 50 meg of that back to BMW each day.
Wow.
So that's kind of it's a micro cloud on wheels.
Yeah.
And so the edge is a spectrum. So for us, you know, if you're looking, and again, a lot of the companies that we've had on stage all share a similar view of where architecture is going, is that the world is not hybrid. The world is actually what they described as a digital business architecture, edge to core to multi-cloud. And when you're looking at managing data, or, you know, collecting, curating, sharing data, it is in the context of that. That's exactly what British Telecom are doing. It's exactly what Disney are doing. It's exactly what all the customers that are on stage that we're talking about are doing.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to think that that's a simple message that suddenly everybody's jumped on and said, edge, core, cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, and you hear lots of people talking about it. I was, I guess, pleased to be able to see over the last 2 days the evidence that that really does exist as something you can touch and feel, and the presenters on stage were obviously giving us that feeling.
Yeah.
So how does that translate for the way that the business will move then? You know, you're not going to stop selling platforms.
Absolutely.
And solutions.
Absolutely not.
And obviously...
Let's just make that clear. Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, but people who are used to seeing that business and understanding that infrastructure side of the business, maybe we'll look at the other part of the business that looks at data and think, these seem to be slightly two separate businesses almost, you know, being brought together. You mentioned something about treating it as an IP company.
Yeah.
And so do you want to explain what you mean by that? Because I think that might help to people to understand.
I think, you know, you have to really understand like who you are at your core. And I'd maybe describe Hitachi Vantara as like two cores, and they're two very different. So one core is we're absolutely like an intellectual property company. That's what we do. That's what we build. That's our how we value ourselves.
Yeah.
And we might package that intellectual property in products. We might package it in solutions. We might package it in services. But at our core, we create intellectual property. And I think that the second core, and this is the one that's quite different for us, things like CSR, corporate social responsibility, it's very cool, it's very hip at the moment. I'm sure you go to a ton of conferences, and I'm sure everyone's got the CSR bolt on at the front or the CSR bolt on at
there
the
is,
back of the conference.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, it's very 2019.
Yeah.
I think Hitachi, it runs a lot deeper than that. You know, you look at back to the original vision of our founder 109 years ago, Mr. Udara, and the vision was this. It's like, how do we build a company that's going to create superior products and technologies for the betterment of society? You roll the clock forward, you know, 109 years, and what's the mission statement? It's to create superior products and technologies for the betterment of society. That's what we do. So we manifest that, yes, in the traditional things around, you know, how do you drive economic benefit and business benefit for organizations? But really, if you speak to Mr. Higashihara, the Hitachi Limited CEO, very much held by him is also this thing that, you know, we're not just going to deliver economic impact on the world. We're also going to deliver social impact and impact on the environment. And that's, they're held in like equal weight in the company. And we met a couple of months ago. I've been here six months or so. That really like binds employees to like the charter and the mission of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And I think yesterday we focused on main stage very much around, you know, superior products. And I do believe really, you know, with the advent of things like the VSP 5000, it is a truly superior product right now. Today we tried to focus more on the, you know, environmental and social impact that we deliver as a company.
Okay. But you are going to still continue to sell storage products, are you?
Yeah.
There'll be people weeping if they thought you weren't going to sell storage products anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the big piece of our core is around building products that are, you know, organically differentiated in the organization. You know, VSP 5000, definitely a great example of that. You know, I think there's probably some catch-up stuff, and like, you know, calling a spade, we had some catch-up to do.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And so I think we've caught up on a bunch of things, but I think there's a bunch of stuff in that platform that is genuinely different than anything else that's out there today. The ability to, you know, virtualize other storage platforms, bring the benefits of performance or dedupe and that sort of thing to non-NVMe, non-dedupable platforms. There's a lot of stuff in there that's very, very different. So absolutely, like, innovating in our core, super important, but that's not the only thing that we want to do. We also want to go and build a digital business around, you know, under this Lumada brand. So just continue to expand on what we announced this week around like Lumada data services, things like the Lumada data lakes, doing, you know, Lumada edge intelligence, more and more and more stuff out at the edge. And, you know, be able to stitch all of that together in an organization, for organizations, in a common strategy around data ops.
I would say from my perspective, I'm starting to understand a bit more where everything's fitting in, and it's probably taken me 12 months to start to see how the pieces sort of stitch together.
Yeah.
I do think it's potentially a complex message to get out to people, mm-hmm. trying to understand, because clearly, you know, there's the history of where you came from as a storage platform company, but that was never always going to be the long-term goal. And then you're looking at it from the top-down piece that says, well, actually, we should be looking at the data and the value and as you said, the IP. And it's trying to work out how do they all really sort of fit together. And the cloud side of it initially for me was a bit confusing as well, because I was looking at that thinking, oh, I'm not sure I quite see that. Mm-hmm. But I had conversations today which helped to fill that gap in.
Yeah.
And that's something we're going to go back and revisit. But,
yeah. We're moving very quickly as a company. You know, really, we're, you know, the first multi-billion dollar startup. You know, so we've really been going two years, and 2 years ago we were kind of ingesting a bunch of products. Now we're adding kind of consulting. Hitachi Limited earmarked an investment of $23 billion for quote unquote digital businesses within the group, and so we're very, very serious on building, you know, a world class company around data for organizations.
I think that's another thing as well, that you have plenty of time. You know, the company's 109 years old as an organization. It's not like you've got to work quarter on quarter and deliver results quarter on quarter that show, you know, some sort of super growth or anything like that. You've got a lot more time to really think about it properly.
Yeah, so you know, we do need to continue to deliver growth. We have a lot of expectations around kind of delivering growth. But I think we start at probably a different starting point than a lot of organizations.
Yeah.
And secondarily, you know, we don't have an IPO that we need to worry about, or we're not
anything like that.
So we're really focused on like, how do we do the right things for customers? How do we make them successful? And if they're successful, they will make us successful.
Great. Well, that was great. Jonathan, thank you for joining me again. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to hopefully not being another 12 months before we talk again, but at least catching up next year and, you know, continuing the discussion.
Yeah, well, glad you've had a great week, and looking forward to having a conversation with you soon.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.